Let's bow our heads. Hey, Father, Lord, thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord. Just allow us for a gather here today, Lord. And just pray for those who are on the road and traveling or home, wherever they may be, Lord. Just be with them. Be with us here, Lord, and reveal your word unto us, Lord. We expect, Lord, that you reveal things to us, Lord, and make things known to us, that you'll quicken your word and give us a revelation of what you need us to know, Lord. Just pray for this little Sunday school lesson, Lord. Pray for the song service, the service upstairs, the ministers, Lord. Just pray for everything, Lord, that it'll go according to your plan, Lord, and that everything will be revealed to us in due time. Just forgive us of all things, Lord. Pray for those who are afflicted, Lord. And just pray for us in our daily lives, Lord, whether work, school, or wherever we may be. We'll be an example of you in human flesh, Lord. Just continue to lead us and guide us in all things. In the person of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So this is a great scripture to read because we're talking. Brother Branham in this sermon is talking about the church, and he's saying that flesh and blood has not revealed it unto Peter, and you're going to see that a lot in five identifications that Brother Branham is going to talk about, how organization has really marred the church and the church's understanding and people's understanding of the scriptures and of the word and what God really wants them to get. And really, when you see organizations, it really is just flesh and blood. It's flesh and blood trying to organize itself and trying to, you know, establish things in their own way, what they see to be right. Even you know, elections and stuff like that, and the sometimes the way the church is organized and even kind of they get kind of possessive with their members, that everyone should be, you know, here, or you have to be at this church, you have to be going to this type of thing, or. And all the different, they can get very possessive and to do things their way, and you know, and it becomes a domination in those sense, and they get off the word, and they focus more on what the church has to say than what the Bible says, or even what the word says, and that's why people, when Brother Brandon will ask people if they're a Christian, they'll say so many people just won't say yes to that question. They'll say, "Oh, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecost." And it's really a yes or no question. It's like, are you a Christian? But they really put the spirit of them is they put the church before they put the word of God or even the Bible. So that's what the spirit of the denomination is, or an organization, is that they put the church before they even put God. So are you a Christian? Well, instead of saying yes, that I follow Christ, they say, "Well, I'm a Methodist." So really you're putting the church above Christ. Brother Branham said five definite identifications. Brother Branham says, and you cannot organize a kingdom of which Christ is the head. You cannot denominate a kingdom which Christ is the head. Therefore, any companies, any peoples, any groups, men that tries to organize the kingdom is going contrary to the king. So if it's against the king, it would be antichrist. So you're going to see this a lot. If Brother Branham's saying, if it's against the king, it is antichrist. So if anything that's against God, anything that's against the king, against the kingdom, it is the antichrist. If it's against Christ, it's contrary to what Christ has taught, it is the antichrist. He goes on to say, it isn't the people in there that I'm striking at. It's the dominating spirit that makes people think that we are the people. Now, if you've been listening to what Brother Wade has been talking about, he's been talking about the dominating woman, the dominating spirit. And we know that a woman in the Bible represents a church. So the dominating woman is the spirit that's being talked about in the church ages, and in the Catholic Church and the different churches, where they put the spirit of the church above the above Christ and above the word and above the Bible. So it's that dominating spirit, the dominating woman, the dominating church that says, no, we are the people, you have to be here, you absolutely have to do it this way, when really God, you know, God is sovereign. God doesn't have to obey the rules of your church, the rules of where you go to church. Your church is not the only church that's going to heaven or believing the right way. God is going to have a very large kingdom and a large variety of believers. And Brother Branham is emphasizing that he's not striking at the people in the denominations, but he's striking at that dominating spirit. So we are not the only people who will be in heaven. There will be people who, and denominations who we will see in heaven. You know, like as we told you on the last, or one of the previous tests, that, you know, the denominational people, as Brother Branham said, are associates in the gospel. These people are not to be looked down upon. They are still our brothers and sisters. If they have given their heart to Christ, they may not have the full revelation, but they are still our brothers and sisters. We don't look down upon them. We don't treat them badly. We don't, you know, we don't cause unnecessary friction with them. We love them with the love of the Lord, the same way that we love each other. We are brothers and sisters, and they can also be our brothers and sisters if they follow Christ. You know, Brother Branham goes on to say, but the real church is the mystical body of Jesus. Now, you cannot organize the mystical body of Jesus. He says that many times. You cannot organize. If you listen to the sermon, he says it many times in the sermon. You cannot organize the mystical body of Christ. And the first organized church that ever was on earth was the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I have the Pre-Nicene Fathers, Fox Book of Martyrs, the writings of Josephus, Pember's Early Ages, and many of the great ancient writers. And nowhere is it ever written on any page of history where there ever was an organized church until the Roman Catholic Church was organized, and it became an organization which was contrary to God. So it was an organization is contrary to God, and that's the Catholic Church was, the Roman Catholic Church. And as we just discussed, anything contrary to God is antichrist. If it is against Christ, it is antichrist. So that organization is antichrist. It is contrary to God. We try to organize him through flesh and blood, as Jesus put it, because flesh and blood can't reveal these things. It has to be the Father which is in heaven. And Brother Branham, in this sermon, he reads from Revelation 17. He says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast. Now, as we know, Brother, Revelations is a book of symbols, and Brother Branham says, let me get these symbols as we go along. Now, scarlet is red. Red in one way is a good color. Red in another way is an ill-famed color. Red, light, danger color. A scarlet color. She was decked in scarlet. So, the color red, we know that, you know, red can have many meanings, especially in nature. You know, red is like a ripe fruit is typically red. So if you're of a certain complexion, your blood will rush to your face and your cheeks will be red, or some people blush easier than others. That is red. Blood is red. We use red for stop signs. They use red in advertisements to catch people's eyes. Red is a very outstanding color for humans, because for our, you know, we get the way we perceive color. Red is a very outstanding color. And he's saying that red here can mean ill fame, so that can be of a bad reputation. And when in the scripture he read, it says a woman, which we know is a church, sitting upon a scarlet colored beast. So the scarlet there is the color red, and the red represents ill fame. And he says, and was sitting upon a beast. A beast in the Bible means power. If you notice many ministers, I see them nodding their head, right? Because they're teachers of the Bible. A beast means power. So we know that a beast now represents power. So we have a woman, which is a church, sitting upon a scarlet colored beast. So a beast, which is a power. So an ill-famed power, an unsavory power, an evil power. So that's what we see, a church sitting upon an evil power. And he goes on to read Revelation. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness and saw a woman, church, sitting upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Seven heads on down here, it said the seven heads which was on the beast. This is seven hills on the city, that city sitteth. Now, what city is built on seven hills? And the congregation says Rome. And he says Rome exactly, sitting on seven hills, a church, a woman, a prostitute that'll control the world with her powers. Why, it's just as plain as reading the newspaper, see? So even at the time he's reading this and the people are understanding, they're picking up on what he's saying. he's saying a beast is a power, and you know, he sees ministers and people in the crowd nodding their heads because they already understand that a beast means power. And then they know that a city that's on seven hills is Rome, and Rome, and you can Google if you want that city. You can Google city on seven hills, and the first thing that'll pop up is Rome, because there are seven hills in Rome, and that is what the Bible is referring to when it says a city. Or when it's talking about the seven heads and ten horns. So that's what it's talking about, with the seven heads are referring to the seven hills that the city is built upon. So that's the church in Rome. He goes on to say, that belongs to organization. I don't say you're Antichrist. I'm not calling you that, but behind the whole thing, and it looks like the devil has twisted it in such a way till you have to have something like that or they won't even let you preach. That's the same thing the nations has got. You can't be a man without a nation. You can't have a nation somewhere. You either have to be American, German, something. It's all twisted around. So really, a born-again Christian is almost a wanderer in the sight of the world. He's a renegade. So as we discussed last week, I was talking about the every nation has a spirit. And Brother Branham talked about how every nation is controlled by the devil. The devil has every nation. Even when he offered, when Jesus was in the desert, the devil tempted him with offering the nations, that he can have control over all these nations. And it says the devil controls all these nations. And every organization and nation in the world today is controlled by the devil. So we want to be careful when we look at, you know, our country and we look at politics and things like that, and not to get too drawn up into that, because all the nations are controlled by the devil. And Brother Branham said both, you know, Republicans, Democrats, they're all, you know, the politicians are all crooks. And all nations are controlled by the devil. Whenever there's man organizing something, the devil is going to have a part in it, because it's flesh and blood. You have to have the spirit there. The spirit has to be there. The spirit of God. It has to be revealed to you by the Father. If it's not, you know, if Christ isn't the head of it, the devil is going to get a hold of it. That's the simple truth. So Christ has to be the head. That's why Brother Ram is saying you cannot organize the mystical body of Christ, because Christ is the head. It's not going to be organized by man. It's not going to be taken over by flesh and blood. It's going to remain pure, and it's going to remain the way it should. And just like Brother Branham saying, like, it gets to a point where if you're not in a denomination, certain places won't even let you preach. And Brother Branham, of course, would know this from experience, and he had many minister friends. And if they ever said they were non-denominational, you know, they'd be like, well, you know, you can't preach here because you don't belong to a denomination, or you don't belong to the Methodist or Baptist, so you can't preach at our church if you don't belong to a certain church. And that, and he's saying that's the same thing they do with the nation. See, you can't just, even as us as Americans, or we can't just go somewhere and live there. You know, we have to get registered. We have to get this, that. We can't just go somewhere and live there and no one ask questions and get a job. And because even to get a job here, you have to have certain certification, you have to have a certain card, you have to have certain access, you have to have a visa, a permit, some kind of identification, or administered by the government, which is a giant organization, to show that, hey, I'm part of this, or I'm allowed to be here. Or even if you guys get a job, they're going to say, do you have proof that you're a citizen, or do you have, are you a registered citizen here? Or do you have a, what's it called? It's like license to work in this country. So, you know, they're going to ask you those questions because it's a giant organization. They have to know these things, but that's not how God works. God's not going to have you go to a church and then they say, oh, well, what do you belong to? And then, are you registered here? Are you registered there? That's not how the body of God works. You can't organize the mystical body of Christ. So that's not how the church is going to work. That's what you have to understand. The church, people see a church as a building, a place, an organization. That's what most people see a church as, an organization. Well, the Methodist church is basically an organization. The Baptist church, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal church is essentially an organization. The Catholic church is essentially an organization. But the actual true church of God, the true church of God is a called out people. Brother Branham talked about how church means a called out people. Does not mean a building, does not mean a gathering of people, because we know the Methodists gather, the Baptists gather, the Catholics gather, but the church is a called out people. So it's not just people who gather, but it's people who are called out of the world. So our fashion trends, the movies we watch, the media we consume, everything that we do should be colored by the gospel, by the word. It's going to be different from the world. the way we dress, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we don't do certain things, we don't do certain activities, we don't go certain places, we go to church on Sundays. It's very strange. It's very different. It's very called out. That's what makes us a called out people. And that's why Brother Branham says a born again Christian is a wanderer in the sight of the world. He's a renegade. So we are wanderers. This world is not our home, as the song says. There's many scriptures about being a pilgrim and a stranger, many songs about being a pilgrim and a stranger, because truly we're wanderers. Truly we don't have a city here. And Abraham was seeking a city whose builder and maker was God. And that city is not on earth. Every city on earth is an organization. And that's not how God works. God works through, God is sovereign. He works through his own methods. And it's not going to be through an organization. And Brother Ram once again says, people say, are you a Christian? They'll say, I'm a Baptist. He said, that doesn't answer the question. Am I a Christian? I'm Pentecost. That doesn't answer the question. If you're a Christian, you're born a grand creature. You are in a mystic kingdom of God. Your eyes are not on the things of this world, but on the things above. And that's when you're in the church. That is the church. It's not an organization. It can never be an organization. The church can never be an organization. If you say, you know, even sometimes in the message, we kind of, people get too a little, sometimes they can get possessive over their congregation. Sometimes they can get, you know, prideful. Sometimes they can kind of get cliquey. They can form cliques and groups. But really, the church is never going to be a clique. It's never going to be a certain group. It's never going to be an organization. It's never going to be just one group of people. It's going to be the mystic body of God. You can never organize it. It can never be an organization. It can never, and it's not going to be what anyone thinks. It's going to be what God thinks. And God's going to search everyone's hearts. And he'll know if someone in the Baptist church is a true believer. He'll know if someone in the Methodist church has the new birth or not. He'll know if there's a Catholic brother or sister out there who really surrendered their heart to God. He'll know that. He's the one who can judge those things. We as people cannot judge those things. We can't say, well, someone is a Catholic in the Catholic Church isn't going to heaven because they're in the Catholic Church. That only God knows if their heart is truly born again. And people can get born again in any denomination, in any place. It's just about, because being born again is about between you and God. And that's the only thing it's about. It's not about you being in a church. The people who understand that, the people who really surrender themselves, are going to understand that it's between you and God. It's going to be a personal relationship. It's not going to be because they're in a church, or because we go to a Methodist church, or we go to a Baptist church, or we go to this church, or we go to the biggest Methodist church, or the small, or we go to this smaller sect that really believes. But it's going to be the mystical kingdom of God. You're not going to be able to fit the mystical kingdom of God in a box, not in the message box, not in the Baptist box, not in any other box. There's no box that you're going to fit the mystic kingdom of God in. And Brother Ben was going to say, take me on record, the Church of the Living God can never be any certain group. Take me on record, the Church of the Living God can never be any certain group. It cannot be an organization. So it is the called out people. And he says, not a bishop's control or church's board control, but a king, which is the Messiah himself working in his own domain. When did it begin? At Pentecost. Not the Pentecostal organization, the Pentecostal experience. Now, this is something Brother Ram says a lot in his messages. Pentecost is not an organization. Pentecost is an experience. The new birth cannot be organized. It is an experience that you have to have. You cannot say, well, I go to this church, I have the new birth. I do this, I do that. I go to church every Sunday. I do this, I do that. No, it's an experience. It's not something you have to do. It's not something, it's not an organization. It's not a set of 1, 2, 3. You know, we know there's an order. We know there's, we know that the Bible calls us to repent, be baptized, repent of your sins, for remission of your sins, and be baptized. And the Holy Ghost will come. And we know those are ordered by the Bible. But it's not going to be a man-made idea. It's going to be, once again, the Father above revealing it to you. It's not going to be a flesh and blood telling you, hey, you need to do this, this, and this. And sometimes at camps, you know, ministers will tell people that they have the Holy Ghost. But no minister can tell you, you know, if you have an experience with God. Only God can tell you that. If the minister says you have the Holy Ghost, I would say don't believe them, because you need to know. You can't base your experience based off what a minister told you. When you get to Judgment Day, you can't say, well, Brother so-and-so said I have the Holy Ghost. God's going to say, well, that doesn't matter. It's a relationship between me and you. That's what God's going to say. It's going to be It's not based on flesh and blood. It's going to be based on what's revealed to you by the Father, which is in heaven. It's not an experience. It's not an organization. It's an experience. And he's saying the church began at Pentecost. And why did the church begin at Pentecost? He's going to explain that. That's when it began with you. He spoke of its coming. He said what would take place. He told it was coming. And he goes to Luke 24, verse 49. And he says, "And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." Now he promised of a coming church, a coming kingdom. Now turn right over, Acts 1:8. Now here, remember, he spake also in Matthew 16:18 of upon this rock he will build his church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes as we go on down in the other subject, Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the world. Now that is when the church began, is at Pentecost. Because when does the church receive power? It is after the Holy Ghost has come upon them, when they went into that room, and they waited and they tarried until the Holy Ghost came upon them. And then after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that's when they receive the power. And it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the world." So once we are endued with power from on high, once we are endued with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost comes to us, then we receive power, and then we must be witnesses to others. Then we must minister to others. Then we must, you know, spread the gospel, spread the good news, talk about Jesus, talk about the Bible, talk about Christ, and talk about it with other people. Talk about it with people who don't know about it. Talk about it with people who are atheists. Talk about it with people who left the church. Talk about people who were hurt by religious people. Talk about it with everybody. That's when you're a witness. Was when you receive power from on high, and the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Then you're a witness, and that's when the church began. That's when the church could start witnessing and going out, and the ministries of the disciples and the apostles could come to full fruition, is when they receive power from on high, and then they could be witnesses. Bill Branham says, "A coming kingdom of witnesses, witnesses of his resurrection, witnesses of the power, witnesses of his being alive. You're my witness." Now, Acts 1:8. Then we also find that in Ephesians, the first chapter, 22nd verse, "And has put all things under his feet," that's Christ, "and gave him to be head over the thing to the church, which is the body and the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So who set this church up? Jesus Christ. No bishop, no group of men, no pope, no man-made powers at all. But Jesus Christ spoke of it being his kingdom that was coming in power. And this is why I love this. I really love this sermon, because it's a very scripture-heavy sermon. And especially for the test, pay attention to the scriptures he uses. And it's a very scripture-heavy sermon. And he's shown, that's the wonderful thing about the word. It's not going to contradict itself. And that's how we know he's a prophet, because he sticks to the word. He sticks to what the Bible says. And he's showing you in the scriptures where these things are happening. He's not just saying the church started here, but he's saying the Bible says that. The Bible says that they received power, and then they began to witness. They received the power of the Holy Ghost, and then they began to witness to others. They received something from their Father, which is in heaven. It wasn't that Jesus died and then he came back and resurrected and ascended, and then they just said, "Well, we gotta make something happen. We gotta organize. We gotta get a church together." No, Jesus said, "Go here, tarry, until you receive power from on high," and then they began to witness. So it wasn't the disciples' idea. It wasn't the apostles' idea. It was something that God told them to do, and then they received power. And then they begin to witness. He goes on to say, "Some stands here," 16th chapter of Matthew, "verily I say," okay, we read that. So that's the whole, you know, it has to be, the rock is the revelation. The rock is the revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of who he is. And upon that revelation will the church be built. And then upon that revelation and upon what the Father above reveals to you, and upon getting the Holy Ghost and being able to witness, that's what the church is built on. And he said, "It's not for you to know the time or the season, or what the Father has put in his own mind. But you shall receive power, once again, Acts 1, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power after you are made a bishop, you are made a preacher, you are made a pope, after you are made a priest. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the witness that God was looking for, a witness after the Holy Ghost has come. Not a witness that I'm a bishop, not that I'm a pastor, but a witness of what? The resurrected King. That is the true church of the living God. So it's not based on, you know, and there's many people who can be ministers, be ordained ministers. I'm going to college. I know people who are going to college to become a minister. Seems very strange to me. But there are people who are going to college to become a minister. They're going to get their degree so that they can then preach. And that is nowhere in the Bible does it say that. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that a man has to be learned or conform to the educational standards of, you know, the world to then preach. There's nowhere in the Bible. And Brother Benham is saying it's after you receive power from on high, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not because you're ordained, not because you got a college degree, not because you got, you know, not because your pastor really likes you, so he said, hey, come preach for me, or not because, you know, your dad was a preacher, or none of those things. It's when you receive power from on high. That's what it really is. It's not because you're a bishop or a deacon or whatever the case may be, whatever position you have in the church, not even because you go to church or every Sunday, but because you've received power from on high. From the Father himself. So there's no man-made organization, theology, any place, any church that can give you power. It has to be from on high. And as we know, there's many people who will be ministers for a long time and then they'll go off the word because they didn't receive that power from on high. And then it makes it harder for them to witness because they don't truly have an experience. They don't truly have the power that the Bible is talking about, that they really need for their experience. So remember, it's never going to be an organization. It's never going to be any one place, and it's not going to be any certain group. You know, and be careful of that. Sometimes in the message, people get kind of a haughty, proud spirit, but it's not going to be just message believers. It's going to be whoever's given their heart to God, whoever surrendered their heart to God. As Brother Branham said, we have brothers and sisters in other denominations. You know, it's not that any group or any certain people. The only people it's going to be is going to be the called out people. That's who the church is. It's not going to be any certain group. It's going to be a called out people. And called out people is not message believers. It's not Baptists. It's not Pentecostals. It's a called out people. It's those who are called out and separate from the world. Those who are pilgrims and strangers, even while they live on this earth. And we understand where our power comes from. So. That's about our time, so God bless you. You're dismissed.